Amen. All right, Romans chapter 15. Again, we're going to pick up at verse 5. We left off in verse 4 where Paul was telling us that whatever in verse 4, if you look at it, he says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning. That's why it's important to have the Word of God, because it's for our learning. And why it's important to read the Word of God as we're continue to look at that. He says that through it is we'll find the patience and the comfort and hope through the Scriptures. Again, so that's why, and that's the main reason why we go through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, precept by precept. We do topicals when the occasion arises. Because through the Scriptures we have patience and comfort and hope, we go through it through the line upon line. Because the Bible tells us how we are to live and how we are to believe and how we are to walk with the Lord and what God requires of us. So it's really pretty much our lifestyle. And all these characteristics, all these works, they're found in the Scriptures. And so I do want to mention one thing. Thank you for your prayers for the team that went out to share the true meaning of Christmas down at Balboa Park. Mark and Lupe, as they did a lot. The Lord used them tremendously, and Carlene, to get everything prepared and to go out there and share the gospel. So we're looking forward to next year. I don't got a lot of details on exactly what happened, but a lot of seeds were planted. There was a lot of people. I'm looking forward to next year and see what God's going to do in the next year if the Lord should tarry. But again, they were presenting the very thing that Paul's talking about here, and that's the Scriptures. Now, I want to read this. You stay where you're at, but I'm going to read Psalms 19 because David really tells us exactly, he defines exactly what the Bible is. He gives us tells us what the Word of God is. He gives us the nature of God's Word. And then he goes in and he tells us the results of the Word of God in our lives personally. Now listen to what he says, because it's so important. When we think of the Bible, we don't really think of its nature sometimes. You just say, oh, the Bible, and it's God's Word. But there's a lot that the Bible is. Listen to what the nature of it is. And it's my favorite, one of my favorite, I should say, chapters in the book of Psalms, Psalms 19. Listen to what it says. David says that the law of the Lord is perfect. God's word is perfect. And because it's perfect, it converts the soul. So that's one thing. That's why it's so important to read your word, because it changes our lives. It converts your soul. It converted me to the truth of my condition and the truth about who God is and the truth about others and life itself. He says that in the testimonies of the Lord, they're sure, and they're making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, and the rejoicing of heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, and they're enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord is pure, and enlightens the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, and it's enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, and more to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb, and moreover, by them your servant is warned, and by keeping them there's great reward. Isn't that the fact? Isn't that truth? This is God. This is talking about God, the Bible. This is talking about what you read, and as you read it, the effect that it takes place in your life. And so this is what Paul's talking about. Now look at verse 5 here in chapter 15. Paul goes on, he says, now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, this is why we should first and foremost, why we should be patient with God. You know, I've never in my life thought, okay, I need to be patient with God. I go around and say, I got to be patient with you, you know. I got to be patient with this guy or this woman, or I got to even be patient with myself. But we're called to be patient with God first. And if we become patient with God first, then second, we'll become patient with others. And third, we'll be patient with ourselves. Why? Why should we be patient with God? Because he's patient with us. Think about it. Think about how God is patient with you and how he's been patient with you. And I want you to ask yourself this, guys. Ask yourself, if you were God, how long would you put up with you? How long? I know with me, he'd be going, ping, ping. Like, I think my relationship with God would be like a handball court. You know, sometimes I think God is like, I'm standing there, God, and God's going, ping, bump, back, ping, bump, back. You know how you play handball, there's three walls, and the ball ain't gonna, it's just going to keep coming back, you know? How long will you be patient with yourself? Ask yourself that. How long would you put up with yourself? Well, you know what? God put up with me for 18 years because that's when I accepted him. And, you know, he's still putting up with me. I don't know, you younger generation, like me, you older generation, the younger generation with me. You remember I Love Lucy? The program, how many of you watch I Love Lucy? You remember when Lucy, you know, she always, it's like, ay, Ricky, ay, 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 gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, you know, and she's like, and he's like, ay, yeah, you know, ay, ay, ay. I sometimes think that's, sometimes I have that relationship with God. That's me, Lucy, and God's going, ay, 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 you know. It's so funny. You know, God, he has so much patience with us. And so Paul tells us that, and he calls us to be like-minded towards one another, just like Jesus is with you. He wants us to be like him, showing grace, showing love, showing peace. Everything that Christ has exhibited towards us, that's what's going to enable us to glorify God. And so we got to be like-minded with one another, putting up with one another, you know, and it's so important. Now think about it. Okay, within the body of Christ, we need to find those divine natures of God that are going to, that the ones that are going to come just strictly through the scriptures. Now, I just read Psalms 19. It tells you everything that the Word of God is. It's perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true and righteous. It's more desirable than gold and silver and sweeter than the honey. You agree with that? Isn't that right? And so this is all going to come through the scriptures. And so as we read it, Paul says, this is what we need to put in our lives. As we take in the Word of God, we end up finding the comfort and the patience of God. Why do we need the comfort and the patience of God? Well, look at verse 1 in Romans 15. Because we who are strong ought to bear up the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves, but let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So this is why we need the Word of God. You want to know why? Because we're all different. We're all different. And so we should constantly be pursuing and striving to be one mind, one-minded. Just like Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, listen to what he says. He says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, he's saying we got to seek the unity in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called in, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? You know, that's the Southern, you know, talk. So the question is here is how can we as a church with so many different personalities, so many different gifts, so many different feelings and emotions, different views on certain scriptures or in on life in general, how can we achieve harmony and unity and being of one mind? Well, look at verse 5. He says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is awesome because if you notice these two verses, they're actually a prayer of Paul. Paul is actually praying these two verses for those believers in Rome. And Paul just told us in verse 4 that the endurance and the comfort that is necessary for us to live, it comes from God and it comes through the scriptures as you read it. And now here he says that they come from God. So first in verse 4 he says, okay, that the comfort and the patience, they come from the scripture. You're going to get it from the scripture. Now in verse 5 he says that they come from God. In fact, he says that God is the God of what? Patience, which is endurance. God is the God of all consolation, which is comfort. So what is Paul praying here for them? He's praying that they would be secure and they would be strengthened. They would endure and be comforted, which only can come from both the scriptures and God himself. I think they go hand in hand, right? Paul's prayer for them is that they will stick to studying the Word of God, continue studying the Word of God, study the Scriptures, and continue to pray, be steadfast in prayer. And that's why when you pray, I'm always saying this, have an open Bible next to you. Because God just might reveal your prayer to you through the Bible, through the Word of God. Or through the Word of God, He might show you what just specifically what you need to pray. So every time you pray, when I pray in the morning, I have my Bible open up. I'm actually in the Word of God. They go hand in hand. You can't have one from the other. In fact, these behaviors are part of the five spiritual senses that we need to live as Christians. You can't live without them. They're a lifestyle for us. And that is what? The five spiritual senses that we have are hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, and meditating on the Word of God. That's what you need to do and you need to implement in your life. And if we continue in prayer that Paul's mentioning here in verse 5 and 6, then we'll be able to know the endurance and the patience and the comfort of God. So what? So that we can bear the weakness of each other. Because don't we have them? Every one of us have a weakness. Every one of us. You know, but they're different. And we need to learn how to constantly support one another, help one another, care for each other, and to live in unity with one another. Isn't that what you guys want? Hey, that's what God wants for His people. And the purpose of the church is what? That we as a church may glorify God together. All of us. With one mind and one mouth, one heart. This is the very reason why the Lord made us and He established the church. Look at verse 6. He says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the fact that God longs for us to worship and to praise Him. What? Together. Together, guys. And not only in our devotional time with Him. You got to have that devotional time one-on-one with God. But here in chapter 14 and chapter 15, Paul points out that if the church is divided, if we don't come together and worship Him together and praise Him together, a church divided cannot worship God. But Paul, you know, he's only repeating what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus knew their thoughts and He said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be in ruin. And every city or household divided against itself, what? Will not stand. So you see why we need to be in unity? This is exactly what Paul is saying here. A church has to be of one mind, one mouth to worship God. And if we as God's people are not of one mind and one mouth, God's not going to be glorified. He's not going to be worshipped. It's like that sticker. You probably see it, a bumper sticker that says coexist. Yeah, how many of you have seen that? Coexist. And it has all these, it's talking about all these different relationships. They need to come together and be one, right? Our God just doesn't want us to exist. He wants us to excel. He wants us to be of one mind, not all these different minds. He wants us to be one mind. Now, the Greek word mind here in this verse, it means unanimously. We need to be of one mind unanimously, without opposition. We need to be with the agreement of all people involved. Isn't it great that when we come together, just like this morning here, you know, we're here this morning together, that there's a oneness of mind that takes place even with all our differences. I'm different than you. You're different than me. But there is a oneness here. When we come and they're leading us in worship, we're not thinking about those things. We're worshiping God with one mind and one mouth. Because that's what God does. And that's what it's all about. You know, and when people when people don't do that, it's not like they don't love the Lord. Because I hear people, when they don't come to church, they don't come to fellowship. I haven't seen them in a while, and I tell them, hey, you know, we miss you. Where you been? And there's just kind of this little sense of defensiveness. And right away I hear, well, you know, I still have the Lord, and I still have my time with the Lord, and so it's not like they don't love the Lord, guys, and because I hear them say that. And it's not like they're not saved, but when you separate yourselves from the body of Christ, then you become isolated, and you lose that desire to serve as one, and you put yourself in this very vulnerable position. Well, you get attacked. And Paul says, don't be divided. He says, don't separate yourselves from others. You have to be of one mind. How many of you believe that? We got to be of one mind, right? We got to be in unity with one another. How many of you believe that it's important to stay in fellowship? Because the minute you leave fellowship, it just takes you further and further from that oneness with God and God's people. And you are who you hang around with. If you hang around with the world, you're going to be like the world. If you hang around with the Lord and his people, you're going to become like the Lord and his people. Look what he says in verse 6. He says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, Paul, he makes it very clear right here, right? That every one of us must seek and work for the unity of the church so that we may be of one mind and fulfill that very purpose of our existence. And that's to glorify God. That's what it's about. Glorify God. And tell others about God, teach others, and train others for Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the vision here at Horizon North Park. That's the vision that he's given us. And that is tell others and lead them to Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm thinking about, it's so important how we have to put the vision before the people. I'm going to have it put up here in this corner here eventually. But our vision is to tell others and to lead them to Jesus Christ. Teach them the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Train them to be disciples and send them out for Jesus Christ. That's the vision that the Lord gave us for us to fulfill here at Horizon North Park. For you, for us, together. So it's important for us to be of the same mind and same purpose so that we can what? I love it the way we have it written out. It says to reach our Jerusalem, which is North Park. Our Judea, which is San Diego County, our Samaria, which is the U.S., and to the ends of the earth. And that's until the whole world knows. What happens when the whole world knows? We're going home, right? And it's not going to stop there. Because once we go, when the rapture comes and we go be with the Lord, the word of God is going to be, it's going to continue to be preached. People are going to continue to get saved. So as we minister to each other in the love of Christ and through the word of God being taught, you know, because the word of God is being taught here, guys. We teach the word of God every Sunday morning, Sunday evening. We teach it on Mondays, on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays. Every day, the word of God is being taught here. And we do glorify God through prayer, through worship, through fellowship, and the teaching of the word of God. And we learn how to love one another. We learn with how to be patient with one another. We learn the comfort of God and how we need to be patient and long-suffering with one another because he was with us. And we love others with the love of Christ. Now, I want you to think of something else right now. I want you to think about how you were when you received Christ. Or actually, before you received Christ. I want you to think about how you were. Now, let me ask you this. Were you the absolute ideal of and the perfect specimen of a man and woman? Some of you probably, yeah, I was, man. Ooh, you know, man, guys are going like this. Yeah, you know. What was that guy from Beauty and the Beast? Gaston. You know, it's like, I'm Gaston, you know. How many of you felt like you were Gaston on Beauty and the Beast before you came to Christ? You know, then you accept the Lord, you realize you're just a beast. You know, Were you like that? Or how about this? How about, did Jesus tell you to go first clean up your act and then I'll accept you? No, right? He didn't do that. He said, come as you are. He received us with what? With all our imperfections. Then why is it when we see others that we are shocked and amazed on how terrible they look with the same sins that we were delivered from? It's like, wow, they, you know, kind of like you wear something. Oh, you know what? You look much better. That looks better on you than me. You know, you ever came across, they were wearing the same thing. So, wow, that looks better on you than it does me. Why is it that if God receives us in all our imperfections, when we see others, that we are shocked when we see that same look, that same sin that we were delivered from on them? It changes. How easy it is to forget that we were once, you know, one time dead in our sin. And it's very easy to look at other people's flaws in others. But let me remind you what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, 42. He said, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself failed to see the plank in your own eye? He says, hey, you're a hypocrite if you're like that. First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So, guys, we have to accept one another. There is no discrimination in Christ. The word here, receive, in the Greek, it means to take to oneself, to receive a person as a friend, and to treat as a to treat them as the closest of all friends with the most caring kindness. This is what God's requiring of us. So we're called to receive one another like a BFF. Okay? You know, I always say, okay, BFF, you know, what does that mean? Best friends forever, right? I want to be your best, your BFF. Big fat friend. Okay, that's what I want to be. I want to be your BFF. Okay? Best friends forever. So we are called to, and obviously we got the greatest BFF example ever, right? Christ himself. And he tells us he sticks closer to us than the brother does. Jesus received us. And you want to know why? So that God may be glorified. That's the purpose why he received us. So we must receive each other so that God may be glorified through our lives and through the church. Just think about how far Christ went to do this, guys. We know when Paul's writing the book of Romans, you know, he's writing to the believers in Rome and to the Gentile believers. And not only did Christ receive the Jews and he ministered to them, and even if they didn't want nothing to do with him, and he did it to them to fulfill all righteousness, that what? That God may be glorified and to confirm and to fulfill the promises that God made to the Jewish nation. Look at verse 8. Look what Paul said. He says, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, which he's talking about the Jews, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the forefathers. And even though they were very discriminating, they were very prejudiced and judgmental against him and against others, especially the Gentiles, yet Christ came to them. He came to them, he received them, he ministered to them. Why? To fulfill the word of God and for them to glorify God. And so that God cannot be called a liar by anybody. Because God said that he was going to reach out to them. And if God did not reach out to them, then he would be lying, right? And obviously, First John, the book of First John, if I can't remember the chapter, it says God does not lie. He cannot lie. Can you imagine if you cannot lie? You know, if everything you said was truthful, I think you'd be in big trouble, you know, especially when you're talking to people, you know, and you just can't lie. You got to tell the truth. Oh, man, that would be scary. And then on the other side of the coin, right, you got heads, you got tails. Christ also received the Gentiles and he ministered to them. He came to bring them into the mercy, into the grace of God, that they too might praise God for his mercy and his grace. And he received and he ministered to them, even when they were living the most immoral and deprived lifestyle imaginable. That's when he came. And then didn't he tell us that he loved us when we were yet sinners? When you were the most immoral and deprived person of your life? That's when he came. Look at verse 9. He says, and that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy as well, as it is written. For this reason I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Rejoice with the Jews. And Jews, rejoice with the Gentiles. This is what Paul's saying. Hey, worship God together because we're both gods. And he said in verse 11, he says, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Loot him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I love how there's no discrimination with God. He received the most self-righteous, the most hypocritical of the Jews that there were. And he also received the most sinful and immoral of the Gentiles that there were. He received them both. Yeah, like you. can you stand up? Like you, yeah. like us, right? So the point of Paul's message here is that believers can receive one another just as Christ can. We have to receive one another because no one, and I really believe this, no one is too far gone to be rejected and cast away by God. He can save anybody. If he can save me, gotcha. If he can save me, he can save you. He can save anybody. And Paul says that everyone in the church, that means you and that means me, that we need to be filled by the God of hope. We need to be filled with the God of hope. He's our hope. That's what Paul says here. He says, the God of hope. And again, this is Paul's prayer for the believers in Rome. It's a prayer for us as well. That the Lord will what? Be the author of our hope. He's the author of our hope. That he be the foundation of our hope. That we can build on this hope that God gives us, and that he be the finisher of our hope. Isn't that what he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2? Look what it says. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, that he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the beginner and the finisher. So this is Paul's prayer for us this morning. Look at verse 13. He's praying this. He says, now, this is his prayer. He's actually praying, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and with all peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is Paul's prayer for us this morning? Well, first, there is joy. He says that you be filled with joy. The Greek meaning is an inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure. It is a depth of assurance and confidence that is bringing out the cheerful heart. And it's a cheerful heart that will lead to a cheerful behavior. Again, it's like father, like son. But that only comes from God. You're not going to get joy from anywhere else. You're not going to get it from a person. How many times have you brought joy into someone's life, but then you turn around and you brought anger out of them, or you brought sadness out of them, and disappointment? Has anybody here ever brought joy to someone and just continued joy, 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 joy? No. This can only come from God. And then he says that there's also a peace that comes through what? Believing in God. A peace that the world cannot give. And the scriptures tells us that. It can only come from God. And nobody can have peace apart from God. You're not going to find peace in not an individual or a thing. It's only temporal. But the peace of God surpasses all understanding, right? And then last, there is hope, Paul talks about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, listen to what he says. Peter says, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again to a living hope. Not just hope, but a living hope, a hope that we can live. It's a new living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days. I love this. He's talking about our eternal life. He's talking about we have reservations in heaven. Isn't that great? Knowing that when you get to heaven, reservation for one. Oh, okay, well, let me look in my book here. Oh, yeah, there you are. Aslan. Okay, because I'm going to get a new name. It's either Aslan or Theophilus. But actually, he's going to say, okay, Steve, or let's see, they call you Stevie, Steve, Pastor Steve, hey, you, or are you, oh, yeah, you're Carmen's husband. You're known as Carmen's husband. Okay, well, yeah, you got reservations for one in the kingdom of God. Welcome into thou good, into the joy of the thou good and faithful servant. And by the way, your name has changed. You're now Theophilus, lover of God. That's what I want, lover of God, Theophilus. But that can only come from God. Amen? And Paul's saying that this is only going to come through the scriptures. As you read it, you're going to receive the comfort and the patience and the endurance that only comes from God. It ain't going to come from anywhere else. Because the word of God is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, and it's true and righteous. And because it is, it's gonna convert me. It's gonna make me the wise, simple, and it brings rejoicing of heart, and it opens my eyes, and it's lasting forever. Man, I want to read the word of God. I want the word of God in my life. Because this will never let me down. All the answers are right here. They're right here in front of you. Every answer to the whole world is right here. And you want to know what it is? What? First, seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Then everything else will fall into place. That's it. It's that simple, right? God made it that simple. Just seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is going to fall into place. According to his perfect will. And when it does, he says, now what you've learned through the word of God, you take it and you treat others the same way. The word of God is Jesus, right? He's the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. You got it. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. It says, you know, for you Spanish speaking people. Slava Bobo in Russia. Which means praise God. I don't know how to say Jesus in Russian. I don't know. Definitely don't know how to say it in Chinese. But he's everything. And I love it, the fact that it's all because of what Jesus did for us. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, remember the patience. Remember the comfort that God has for you. Remember all that Jesus has done for everything that he took on the cross, everything that he did at the cross. And not only what he did at the cross, but what he did prior to the cross, all the lives that he changed before he went to the cross. He made sure first that he changed people's lives. And then he said, okay, now this is, I'm going to do some more for you now. Not only did he feed, he said, hey, we're going to feed the 5,000. He says, okay, you guys are all full and you're fed. It's almost like he said, okay, now I'm going to die for you. Now, here comes the dessert. I'm going to die for you. And he died on the cross for them. He died on the cross for us. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want you to just think about how patient and how long-suffering he was for you. Think about what the price that he paid for you. Amen?